Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra.
And Jade.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Welcome to the Hannah's Heart family. I had somebody on Instagram reach out to us recently, and they were new, and they were just so encouraging and saying, oh, this is such a breath of fresh air. And my response was, welcome to the family. And I told them, as I'm going to tell our listeners now, we love praying for you.
Yes.
So if you want to message us at Hannah's Heart at afa.net. We love getting your prayer requests, or you can send us Instagram, Facebook.
I love that.
You can also watch us on AFA streaming. Don't look too close at the wrinkles under the eyes and the lack of sleep.
Girl, you look good.
And the dark circles.
But we legit pray. I know Kendra and Ann, they legit pray. And I'm just getting on, and so I will do the same.
You're a part of our family
now.
Yeah,
we're family. We are family. That's the song.
But for those that are new to the show, this is a show for couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, or adoption, or whatever way God builds your family.
That's
and sometimes
so
it's unique. Today's topic is kind of a fun one that we haven't really talked about a lot, and this came from Jade's heart to share. So why don't you tell us about
it? I'm in it myself, and we have a special guest, y'all. I'm so excited about having her on. She's been a blessing to me. When I got married 6 years ago, I married a man who has a child, a beautiful young lady, and I didn't have a clue of what was going on. And I actually, real briefly, I actually used to say I would never marry a man with kids because I didn't want that baby
never
mama.
Say never to God,
never
right?
It's so true. And I'm so thankful that I didn't stop that from marrying my husband, who I love dearly. Yes, has there been trials? I mean, even in biological family, there will be trials. But I Googled one day because I was desperate for information from a Christian perspective of how I can make it. And somehow, Laura Petherbridge popped up.
Mm.
And she actually was at Marriage Family Life Conference, I think 2021. Mm. I think that's right. Or 2022. Help me, Holy Spirit. One of the two. But she was a speaker, and she has been on another program here on AFR Talk. And she's just been a blessing. And so she's going to be, our guest today. I want to give a brief bio. She's got a long one, but I'm gonna make it short, y'all. Laura Petherbridge serves couples and single adults with topics on women's issues, relationships, step families, co-parenting, single parenting, divorce prevention, and divorce recovery. She's written many books. The book that I know her from is The Smart Stepmom, whom she co-authored with expert Ron Deal. She has a lot. She's a speaker, she's an author, she's a sister in Christ, and I'm excited to have her on today. Hey, Laura.
Hi, thanks for the invite.
It's always a joy. I'm serious. Like, I just love you. We've had conversations, and like I said, you've been on another program on AFR Talk. You were a speaker at MFL, and I was just excited because I'm a childless stepmom, and I know that's another arena that you hit on in your ministry, is ministering to childless stepmoms. But before we get to that, I'm curious, could you explain to our listeners what a stepfamily is?
Sure. Well, it's interesting because the phrase has changed it a little bit over the years.
True.
Most people, I shouldn't say most, a lot of people are uncomfortable with the word step family. They associate it with something bad. They think of the wicked stepmother. You know, we have some images that may come along with that phrase. Some take it to mean that we're not really family, like using the phrase step family is not really family. So a lot of people today use the phrase blended family. And
like
so the it depends on which phrase, you know, you're using. What it means, basically, two people getting married, one of them or both of them having children from a previous relationship. So it can be either one or both people, spouses, that are bringing children from another marriage or from another relationship to form the step family. So that's in a nutshell what it is.
Laura, I remember hearing you speak at MFL. I was actually running a camera when you were there. And I remember as you launched into the topic, I kind of looked around like, oh, we're going there.
Keeps it real.
Like, yeah. This is about to get messy. Like, we're getting messy because life is messy.
Yes, it is.
I appreciate your ministry and the fact that you're willing to go where people are. And Jade, you told me off air the number of families that fall into this category.
Yeah, Laura, if you could help me. I know that there's more step families in America than there are biological. Is that accurate? I don't remember the number, though. Read that.
Yes, that is accurate. Well, the reason you can't get a firm number is the census stopped including step families in 2010. They stopped counting step families. And part of the reason for that was because people were no longer getting married. Mm. They were just cohabitating as a step family. And of course, there's no legal record then of the step family. So that's really the last step family stats we have is right around 2008, 2010. And at that point, it was projected that within just a handful of years, there would be more step families in the United States than bio families. And if you include those who cohabitate, who don't legally marry but form a step family in the home, the numbers are exponentially higher than a nuclear family.
And this is why more churches, and I thank God for you, Laura, this is why more churches needs to minister to the blended family, because they're hurting too. I'm not dismissing biological, but it's just, imagine being in a family with kids you didn't grow up with and having to learn their personality. So Laura, what was it that made you get into this form of ministry?
God.
You're anointed, though. You are anointed.
It is not my choice.
Reluctant hero here.
I'm laughing, but it's really the truth. I was working in divorce recovery ministry for several years. That was a natural gravitation for me because I grew up in a divorced home. I said, divorce will never happen to me because God hates divorce. I hate divorce, so I will never end up divorced. Well, I was a baby Christian, and I didn't factor in that God was not going to shackle my husband to the couch if he wanted to leave. Mm. And so I ended up in a divorce myself that I did not want. And so from that, I decided, because it was so painful and so excruciating, I almost took my life during that time of my own divorce. I was a very new Christian. And so I thought, okay, the only thing I know about this is that God can take bad stuff and turn it around for good.
Amen.
And so I started working in divorce recovery ministry. Mm. I was featured on the Divorce Care DVDs as an expert. So I spent most of my early ministry years working in divorce recovery, helping Christians overcome the pain of divorce. Mm. When Ron Deal approached me about co-authoring The Smart Stepmom with him, I told him, no, I really don't know anything about this. I mean, yes, I grew up with two stepmoms. I'm a stepmom myself. And so he came back, you know, I kind of just said no without thinking about it. And he came back again and said, I really think you're the person to co-author this book with me. Mm. And before I could get no out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit just gave me one of those little pushes, little nudge, you know, to the heart and said, are you going to pray about this or are you just going to tell him no without asking me?
Mm.
And so I said, okay, Ron, let me pray about it. Well, it was that very day, you know, as I was praying, Lord, why don't I want to do this? And I realized it was fear. Mm. It was like, I don't have anything to tell these women. I don't have any profound wisdom to be telling a stepmom. And again, the Holy Spirit just whispered to my soul, I know you don't, but I do.
Mm.
And they just want to know how you survived.
Mm.
They want to know how you came to me and I taught you how to be a stepmom.
Wow.
So that's when I said yes, and it went from there.
I'm so glad it did, because you were the first person I found when I was Googling information of how I can make it. It was so hard. I mean, I'm not saying it's roses now, but I didn't have a clue. My husband didn't have a clue. And I guess, do you ever get asked? I always mess up on that word. Do you ever get asked, why is it that it seems like more stepmoms tend to reach out than stepdads?
Yes. Very, very common. Well, first of all, women seek help like that more than men do in general.
That's true. We ask for directions.
Number two, yeah, it's just the way we're wired.
Yeah.
And it's also true that women are more ambushed by the changes. So they're more in like, I had no idea what was coming here. I thought I knew what was coming, but yes, this is way bigger than anything I anticipated. And I'm drowning here. Mm. I want to be a good stepmom, but I am in way over my head. And so that's why you get more stepmoms. Now, also women buy more books than men. 85% of books that are purchased by women.
Wow.
So you have that from a publishing standpoint also. You just have more females seeking. And The Smart Stepmom has sold over 45,000 copies.
Wow.
Which is unheard of for a book like that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, the mom's role typically is to have the heartbeat of the family, to feel the pulse, to know what's going on with everybody. And just as nurturers, our relationship to our children is different than a man's relationship. So, you know, he's that protector, provider. Not that husbands don't have a heart, you know, issue with their kids, but it tends to, especially in the earlier years, lean on moms. So I can understand how that specific role of stepmom would be more taxing and more difficult. And you're dealing with, I don't think anybody, when they're thinking of their future, of like, what is my perfect little picture going to look like, thinks, oh, I'm going to be a stepmom. There's going to be a divorce issue in that family. So, you know, a lot of our listeners, they've struggled with infertility and they have these unmet desires. So they are struggling with that. This isn't what I had planned, but yet I love that you help counsel people to know God works in all different ways. And even in the brokenness, there is beauty and glory, and God might call you to a different path than you expected.
Exactly. And boy, is being a stepmom a different path than you expected.
You better say that, Laura.
Y'all going to have to break it down.
Girl, we're going to get there. I want to pivot a little bit into how did you become a childless stepmom? Because it's so interesting to me, your position and just how you got into your marriage, how you met your husband, and just, yeah, how you decided to not have children of your own.
And break down for us what you meant by childless stepmom.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, shortly after my divorce, I did meet the church secretary, introduced me to a man who has had two children. They were 11 and 13 at the time. And so I didn't have a big, I should never marry a man with kids, mainly because I came from a step family. My father remarried twice after the divorce from my mother. So I had two stepmoms and a stepdad through my mom. So, you know, I just did not think this stepfamily thing was going to be that big of a deal. I thought, okay, I'll learn from what my stepparents did or didn't do. And, you know, this isn't going to be that big of a change in my life. But I was dead wrong. And so, you know, I was quickly shocked at the complexities of becoming a stepmother and how the role is so vastly different than of a biological mom, because my brother lived near me and he went through a divorce and I was helping him with his two daughters. So my nieces sort of became like a surrogate little family for me at my house when they were with me. So I thought, you know, how complex can this really be? But as I quickly found out, it was vastly different than being a biological mother or even being an aunt, because these are children my husband had with another woman.
Break that down, Laura. No, I'm sorry for interrupting, but people don't realize, like, I've had women to say, and hold your thought, please. I've had women to say to me, well, you have a daughter, your stepdaughter. That irks the mess out of me because my stepdaughter sees me as her stepmom because she has a mother. So I love that you make that distinction, because there are people who are just ignorant of the whole blended family aspect, and they think that all stepmoms should see it as, those are all my kids. All stepmoms do not think the same.
No, they don't. And in actuality, it's unwise to do that. I know a lot of people won't like hearing me say that, but here's a couple of reasons why it's unwise. Number one, the kids often feel that it's a betrayal to their biological mother. Mm. And what mother, you know, the word mother bear comes from a good source. You know, did you ever see a bear, a female bear, when she's got cubs? That's when they attack, is when the cubs are nearby. And so that's an ingrained human thing in us, that to protect our children as a mom. And we hold that role with very high regard. Mm-hmm. I am not saying every mother is a good mother, but I am saying there is a hardwired bond between a mother and a child most of the time. Yeah. And so when another woman steps into that and starts calling herself another mother or a bonus mother to this child, mm-hmm. nothing will send the mom into fury faster than another woman claiming her children. Hmm. So that's the first reason why it's not, you're not being respectful to the biological mother when you do that.
That's right.
Number two, it's putting the child in tremendous turmoil and division of loyalty. So it is so much wiser for a stepmom to just say, I am an additional woman in this child's life. I am, you know, the dad's wife. I'm here to help his kids, to help him, to be a support system, to fill in where I can. But I'm not trying to usurp the role of mother in this child's life. Mm-hmm. It just creates a much calmer and less tense situation, co-parenting situation, if the stepmom doesn't try to view herself as another mother. That's not her role. Her role is to support her husband. And so I know that that does not make a lot of women happy when I say that, but I'll tell you, it'll bring them a lot of peace.
Ooh,
if they
and freedom.
Will embrace it.
Come on, Laura.
Well, because it deals a lot with expectations that you have
That's right?
What are some of the common expectations that stepmoms might have going into a marriage with a blended family?
That's a good question.
Well, they expect that their husband is going to put them before the children.
Okay.
Let's go there for a second.
That's not going to happen.
Because, you know, I am never one to compare who should be first, the kids or the wife, because the children were there first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's radically different than a nuclear marriage where you get a marriage and then you add children.
Sure,
of course it's easier to keep the spouse in the first position because you formed a unit and then you added children. But you see, in a step family, the children were already in the front seat when you came into the picture.
Right.
They got moved to the front seat when mom and dad split up.
That's good. That's real.
And so now the new spouse is coming along. And yes, she needs to be in the front seat, but that means somebody's got to move to the back seat. Well, who's going to move that kid to the back seat?
That child better. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And see, the dad needs to be the one to gently move that child into a different role in the home, back into a child role, so that his new wife can come and sit next to him. I am not saying that the children get thrown in the trunk.
Absolutely.
Because that's often
how people view
that.
Yeah.
And so he's got to have a very, very strong relationship with his children so that he can gradually bring a new woman into his life that is going to serve in a female role in the home. So this whole, you know, that she automatically has to become first, that gets everybody in trouble. He doesn't want to do it. The kids don't want it. And she's caught in between and feels her husband's not supporting her.
Yeah.
So it can be a big mess if you don't do that properly.
Oh, Laura, I love that you brought this up. That was a huge one in the beginning of our blended family, because this was before I really got into your book, before I found you. I wanted to be first automatically. Okay. Because my husband and I, we're both believers, and I was taught how the couples are first, then children, because I grew up in a family and a marriage where my mom put all her children first, all three of us first, and boy, was that a detriment to the marriage. However, you are absolutely right. There has to, it takes a lot of grace and a lot of being led by the Holy Spirit, because my honey and I didn't do it right, but also I wasn't aware of a lot of things, and I was the only one doing research on Christian perspectives of blended families. My husband, his perspective was, was, oh, well, it all come together. And that used to make me so mad because I'm like, obviously it's not. This is a train wreck here, brother. But it takes time. It takes time. Takes a lot of prayer. I would love for you to share, why did you choose not to have children as a stepmom?
That goes, yes, thank you. And I have a whole page for childless stepmoms because I had no idea how huge the audience for this was. I assumed I was kind of a rarity, that I didn't have children, didn't add children as a stepmom. And come to find out, who knew? There's a huge audience of this. Part of the reason for that is that some women wait later in their life to marry. Mm-hmm. And so they're beyond childbearing years, or they're unable to have children, or they choose not to add children just because they don't feel that they desire to add more kids to the mix. So for me, I had a very painful childhood. And as many children of divorce typically go in one direction or the other when it comes to having kids. They either want a lot of kids or they don't want any kids. That's usually rooted in fear and part of the turmoil that they grew up in. So I was in the camp of, even from a young age, even from a teenagehood, I knew I don't want to bring a child into this world because it's too painful.
Wow.
And so I really was pretty adamant that I didn't want. Now, that was way before I became a Christian, way before I knew Christ could ease all of that pain and remove and heal the pain. You see, I'm thinking of this through the broken eyes of a child, broken heart of a child. And, you know, I was very suicidal in my teenage years and in my early 20s, and then when I went through a divorce. So the world was very dark for me before Christ. And then even after Jesus, yes, I was saved, but it didn't immediately heal all of that sadness and sorrow in my heart. I like to say Jesus washed away my sin, but he didn't wash away my brain. Mm. And so, you know, I still had a lot of childhood pain that I needed to get healed. So when I met my husband, my second husband, he had already had a vasectomy in his first marriage. And he thought once he told me that, I was only 29 when we met, he thought once he told me that, that I was going to leave him, like say, okay, no, this isn't for me. He was willing to have a reversal to see if that would work, but I told him, no, it's okay. I don't want to have kids anyway. So that was the first reason. The second reason was I did not want to do that to my two stepsons. You see, as I mentioned, my dad had remarried twice, and with his second wife, he not only adopted her two children, and they became his, but then they had a baby together, what we call an hours baby. And so I watched my own dad bring in another baby into his second marriage. And it very much made my brother and I feel like we were now in second place on the back burner.
Oh, wow.
And so I did not want to do that to Steve's sons. I did not want to cause any more pain for these two stepsons that bringing an hours baby can do. I am not saying that occurs for every family that adds an hours baby, but from my own personal experience, we kind of went to the back burner. The first family kind of got pushed aside while he added more children. Wow. And so I just didn't want to do that to my stepsons or even risk it. So that was my decision not to add a child into my stepfamily.
Laura, we are almost out of time with this episode. It went so fast, but we're going to have you on next week to continue breaking some of this down. But before we do that, I know some of you are listening and you're like, well, I know somebody who they're a stepmom or a stepdad and their kids treat them just like a mom or dad, and it's great. I can hear you all saying this. We are not saying this is this right. way for every family, but right. you have observed over years of ministry what the general rule and consensus is. And so we want to get into this raw, real stuff and really help people. So, Laura, right before we go out of time, I know we talk about a lot of brokenness, but is there hope for a stepmom
yeah.
to find joy and contentment and purpose?
Well, I've been married 38 years now, so that goes to show you there is hope and there is healing and there is possibility. So that's the testimony. But yes, I had to have Jesus teach me how to think like Christ in my role. Being a stepmom taught me more about how to love like Jesus, how to sacrifice like Jesus than any other experience in my life.
Laura, hold that thought.
There's the hope.
We're going to dig even more into that next week. But thank you guys so much for listening to Hannah's Heart. Whatever way God calls you to build your family, I hope you'll be obedient and willing to be led by Him. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.